before you let the kids go back to children's church, I think they might like my little, not joke, but story today before offering. It's called Twinkies and Root Beer. Yeah, you're laughing already. A little boy wanted to meet God. He knew it was a long trip to where God lived, so he packed his suitcase full of Twinkies and root beer. There's a boy after my heart. The boy, when he had gone 3 blocks, he met an elderly man, and the man was just sitting in the park feeding pigeons. The boy sat down next to him, opened his suitcase, and was about to take a drink from the root beer when he noticed the man looked hungry, so he gave him a Twinkie. Man gratefully accepted and smiled at the boy. His smile was so pleasant, the boy wanted to see him again, so he handed him a root beer. Again, the man smiled at him, and the boy was delighted. And there they sat all afternoon, eating and smiling and never saying a word. As it grew dark, the boy realized how tired he was, and he got up to leave. But before he had gone just a few short steps, he turned around, ran back to the man, and gave him a hug. The man gave him the biggest smile that the man had. When the boy opened the door to his own house a short time later, his mother was surprised by the look of joy on his face, and she asked him, "What did you do today that made you so happy?" And he replied, "I had lunch with God." But before his mother could respond, he added, "And you know what? God has the greatest, most beautiful smile I have ever seen." Meanwhile, the elderly man, also full of joy and radiant, returned to his son's home where he lived. And his son was stunned by the look of love and happiness on his father's face. He said, "Dad, what in the world did you do today that made you so happy?" He said, "You know what? I ate Twinkies in the park with God." Before his son could respond, he added, "You know, God is a whole lot younger than I ever expected." Too often we underestimate the power of a touch, a smile, a hug, a kind word, a listening ear, the smallest act of caring that could turn anyone around. People come into our lives for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Embrace them all and never forget to give out those wonderful, warm hugs. All right, now you can go back. Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Scare you, Greg?
Yeah.
You know, I don't usually do this. First of all, it's beautiful out there. We see the new steeple out there. And, of course, it's connected to a piece of equipment. So I had a hard time getting away from that this morning. But we're thankful to be here today. But I'm going to start off asking for myself for some prayer. I ask that you pray for me and the pain that I can't seem to shake out of my right knee. I stand up here, and after a while, it hurts to the point where I forget where I'm at when I'm talking. So just ask for some prayer. I am finally going to break down and go see the doctor and find out what in the world the problem is sometime soon. In the meantime, joys or concerns? Y'all should be joyful that this auction is creating such a buzz. And I have to tell you about what happened if you were there at Bible study, which more of you should be, on Wednesday night. You'd have heard the story where I wandered into Wednesday to Smithsburg Market to get a chicken dinner, and I was standing there looking around, and I was like, "Oh, look at the bulletin board." And I was like, "Man, I wish that I had a flyer." And then as magically, a flyer appeared in front of me. It was our flyer. And I was so happy, I told the lady, "Hey, that's our church." And she looked at me like this. I just stepped over behind the counter. We're creating some noise. Some of the other things that we've gotten in have been just absolutely beautiful. And for those who don't know, I will share with you that as of right now, before we even open the doors on Friday at 5:30, we're already $160 ahead. Right out of the gate. And Charlie brought us some stuff, a bunch of retaining wall blocks that are heavily valued mulch, and other people have been bringing stuff in, and I see there's some Afghans back there, and there's a quilt that's kind of purplish, stay away from it, and there's all kinds of neat stuff. And I'm excited to see it, and I think one of the things we need to be thankful for, and I'm going to say something again, but this church and the volunteers and the men and women that are jumping forward in this. I was talking to Eloise this past week. Did we get the chairs moved yet from the reeds?
Don't know.
Well, we'll get that. Don't worry. But I was talking to Eloise this past week, and she said to me on the phone, she goes, "And to think all this started was by me saying to you, Paul, we'd like to have an auction. You'll have to be careful what you say to me in the future." We're blessed to have this going forward. And we will be thankful, brothers and sisters. If we raise $500 or more, we will be thankful because it will all be for His glory. Proving and showing. And one of the greatest things that will come out of this is a community that don't know the church may see some love and fellowship here and may want to come check it out later on. So be in praise for that. And be in prayer for it as the time pushes on near. Others this morning, joys or concerns, let us pray together. And if you have that unspoken request, just that hand. Thank you. Thank you all the way. Join with me in prayer. Father, hear us as we fall forward in meditation. Let us be just silent for a minute and seek you within our hearts. We commit to you, Father, all that is laid within us in this moment. Let us hear you. Let us be challenged to be more humble and to place ourselves further down than others so that we may be in front of them for their needs. Like you have been to us, Father, like you have shown us over and over again how great and powerful you are. Forgive us of our sins, our failures, immediate, those that's left behind. Forgive us. Teach us those ways, Father, that we may in turn look to those around us and be that example, Father. Bless us in that. We ask today for the prayers and for the voices spoken, that be coverings go everywhere. For those that are in distress physically, be it a broken body part or something that has gone wrong with inside the inner workings of the mind, Father, or someone who has made a mistake and must now pay for it, lift them up. Show them that they are not unforgivable. And even in this time of tragedy, of crisis for a family suddenly changed, place upon our hearts a spirit of anxiety and prayer for the person that caused it. Yes, when we first read about something like that, we become filled with anger and hatred, Father. But the truth of the matter is, no one is above your salvation. Strengthen that family and lift them up. And thank you for showing us your glory and your beauty within them, in the statements they've made, in the work that they will proceed with. Thank you for your Son being exemplified. There is still so much to do, and will be for such a long period of time. And such a great loss in Japan, Father. But this is a point in time at which your word can come stronger than ever. At which your message can be heard louder and clearer than ever before, Father. Let that be so true. Continue to be with those who are pillars of our church, whom we've known, who we love, who we haven't seen for a while due to whatever is keeping them away, and lift them up. Heavenly Father, be with them and let their thoughts and our thoughts be heard by you, and let our prayers be part of their daily life. And commit us now, we pray. And we ask for strength for the leaders of this country, this community, this denomination, this district, this church. And by leaders, I'm talking about all of us. From the teachers to the lawmakers, to those that keep the law, to those that risk their lives to protect, to those that govern and rule. Let us pray for them, that they would follow after our Father God for their guidance and example. Join our hearts together and strengthen us. Let us pray the way Jesus would have us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's change things up a little bit today. Open your Bibles right to Psalm 139. If there's a Bible in the pew, grab it. Open them up. Psalm 139, verse 1. As you are well versed by now, I like to keep us on our toes a little bit. Or is it me that I like to keep guessing? But I want you to open your Bibles to Psalm 139, to the first verse. And when you found it, I want you to all join with me in reading just the first verse. This is from David. It's a psalm. It's a director of music. The first verse, follow and read along with me out loud, please. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our hearts and our minds. Let us receive the word that thy hands have crafted, have prepared. Let it come through me. Let it be put out that our ears may hear from it exactly what we need. May we be strengthened from it. May we go forward knowing you closer because of it. Let us set aside our labor today and be dwelt with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't close them. We're going to take a little journey all the way through that psalm, all the way through today's message. And at times I'm going to make you read with me. It is so often that I'm told by the people who supposedly love me and care for me that I live in my own world. And I often wonder, what in the world do they mean by that? I'm often told by them, you don't see things as normal people do. Just what exactly is that supposed to mean? I'm normal. Why is everybody laughing? I do live in a different world, I think. Because look, everybody's really starting to figure it out now. But I see things differently. I don't know why. Just the way I'm made. But because of the way I see things, it often causes me to think about things as a different way. And so today, I invite you to throw caution to the wind and come into my world. Don't be scared. Every morning, the alarm clock in my house goes off at 3:55 a.m. There's a handful of men in here who know what that number means. It's time to get up and go milk. Unfortunately, I've been getting up at that hour for so many years that most of the time I'm awake when the alarm clock's going off. And one day I'm going to find a man that invented the snooze button and I'm going to pinch him. And every now and then I have to hit it. But every morning my day starts at 3:55. And I get up and I get ready to go for work. And usually by about 4:25 in the morning, I'm in the car headed to work. And I drive across the mountains to to get over to Waynesboro. And sometimes in the morning, I might be a little bit later than I need to be, so I urge the car to go a little faster. And sometimes I find myself going a little bit faster than, say, the posted speed limit. Come on, let's just get there. Let's get to work. And God is the lawman on those days. And he doesn't write me a ticket. He puts deer in front of me to slow me down. Every time I have picked up the speed where it's posted 40 and I've been going through about that many miles an hour, the deer don't just jump out and run away. They calmly step out into the road and look over at me. And of course I stop, check my breathing, heart rate, and slow down. But the other morning, the strangest thing happened. And I wasn't actually speeding, but I came driving down the road. And as I got to the bottom of the mountain, there's a little road that shoots off to the right, and possibly the biggest cat I've ever seen in my life walked out in that road. And I know it was a cat, and I have a funny feeling it might have been a mountain cat. It was big. And I was coming in slowing down. The cat stopped, sat down the middle of the road, and looked straight into the car. Now, I wasn't going to hit it. I wasn't even going on that road. But what I saw, now you're in my world, was the eyes glowing. The reflection in the eyes. You could see it. It was dark outside. It was a little spooky if you're into that kind of stuff. But here sat a big cat staring right into the car with these eyes, and it made me slow down even more, even though I was going nowhere near it. And all of a sudden, I was thinking, how cool is that that the cat's eyes reflect like that? It was Friday, this warm day. And as I drove past the cat was big. That cat was bigger than any cat I've ever seen. And as I drove by the cat, I looked out the window and I went, kitty, kitty! And that cat went and watched me go away. And I got to thinking as I was driving, that's pretty cool. And then suddenly, he knows. Welcome to my world. How long have cats been walking this planet? Pretty much since the beginning. Do you think they had reflective eyes back then? Was there cars back in the days of Noah? Does that mean that God knew it was coming and made them for that time? He knows. And furthermore, when he knows something like that and knows what's coming so far off in the future, I'll guarantee you, brothers and sisters, he knows you and he knows me as we are. I got to thinking, wow, you know, if everyone could see things like that, they'd do the same thing I did that morning. Praise God that I didn't hit the cat and bend up the car and get in trouble. And I got to thinking, how can you look at something like that and say there is no God, or that creation was us drawn up from a pile of sludge to become that cat? It ain't possible. It's all God. He knows. He knows us. He knows our very thing. What did we read in verse 1? Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. Now when you start thinking like that, you really start to wonder, are you trying to get my attention, Lord? And later on that day, yes, he was. He continued to explain to me why he wanted me to think about him. I was on my way back up the road. It was early, I don't know, about 10 o'clock in the morning. And along about 15, there's a pond off to the right side there, right by Mount St. Mary's College. And the geese love that pond. They're all over it all the time. On that day, there was no geese. Kind of surprised me until I saw two of them come down in front of the truck. And they headed for that water. And in perfect precision, they banked up to the left. They flared down their wings, perfectly spaced apart, in perfect line, came down and landed on that water and slowed down to a perfect stop. It took my breath away. And I've seen that many times. I got to thinking, when we built airplanes, If you've ever watched a big jet airliner land, if you've ever watched any airplane land, they come in like this toward the runway. And at the last couple seconds, they bank their wings slightly to the left and they pull the nose up. That's called flaring. That takes away the air pressure on the top and foils the plane underneath and puts her down, just like that. Those geese, who've been around since before planes, did that. And God knew that men would look at that one day and decide something. He knows everything. Amen? And it just got to me. I was stunned that after all these years and after 4 years of preaching, you'd think that'd be an automatic reaction. He knows everything. He knows everything. But it made it more real. It made it more real that God knows. He knows. He knows me. He knows you. He knew that cat. He knew the geese. He knows what we'll do before we know it ourselves. When I ask you to pray and put your hand up, I don't care if you say anything. God knows what's on your heart. And He doesn't need you to talk to Him. He knows. If He can surely put all that together, He knows Paul Letterman III. And I know as we're reading this, we see what David is thinking. He's thinking the same thing. He's thinking, I saw something. And it's reminding me. He's thinking about what the greatest gift can be. Open back the Bibles up, please. Don't tell me you closed them. Let's read through the first five verses. And you are going to read with me. This is called interactive preaching. That's a product of some of the classes I've been taking. First five verses. Read along. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Because a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. That's our Father. He knows everything. My father and I sat together at dinner last night, looked probably like two idiots on a couch, with a book full of tractors, discussing the finer points of the Farmall 560. And I am very intelligent in the land of tractors, and I pointed out something that my father, I thought, didn't know, and he proceeded to quickly correct me. He knows. God knows us. He loves us. I spend a lot of time beating us on the head because we've got to live a certain way, we've got to do a certain thing, and we've got to be a certain kind of person. And that doesn't go without saying today. But the truth of it is, it's time to smile a little bit because God knows us. And David is starting us off in those verses. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. That's why I don't use foul language anymore when I skin my knuckles in the shop. I don't even try to think it. When you have something that's on your heart, He knows it. And it took a cat and two geese, right? Two geese, to point that out to me. Because sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget that the reason you wake up in the morning, that the reason you were born on this planet, that the reason you're going through the life that you're going through is because of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He knew you at birth. He knew you in the womb. And He has it on good authority from His Father that you are His when you commit to Him. Amen. He sees us as we are, not as who we think we are. That's pretty good work out there. Because I know who I think I am. I am GQ. I am a model. I am a perfect example of the athletic form. Now stop that. God can look down in heaven and look at me and go, Paul, I saw the fifth helping you ate at dinner last night. and He loves us. That's how we kick the first five verses of 139 off. Back to your Bibles. Starting at verse 6. Read with me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Pay attention to verse 11 and 12. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. Hold it right there. That's how much you're known. There are people, they are called public relations people. And people hire these people to get their name known. Right? They get them out there in public. And we know stars. If I say a name like, let's see by show of hands, I'm going to throw out a few names here. Let's see how well you know them. You ready? Jerry Clower. Boy, there will be more hands going up than that. All right, here's one for you. Brad Pitt. Oh, look at all the women. How about, here's a name, John Deere. You see how well John Deere's known? You know, he's been dead past 100 years. I got one for you. I'm going to throw you the curveball. You ready? Cyrus McCormick. Oh, well, kind of throwed me off there a little bit. Let me go back to my notes. In case you don't know, Cyrus McCormick invented the Reaper, the first self-propelled Reaper, and he did it right down the road here. Or, I'm sorry, right over the road, over at Union Bridge. I'll tell you that another time. You see how well people get known? They use public relations people today so that they can get known by the world because they have this deep desire that they have to have their name out there and they have to be known. And the whole time I spend my time trying to hide the stupid stuff I do, but He knows. And I'm glad of it because I sin a lot. I fail a lot. I fall down a lot. David says, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. That's kind of scary at first, until you remember that He's right there. We're watched over by God in both good and evil. He sees the good things we do. He sees the evil things we do. I'm sorry, that's how it is. I'm not going to sugarcoat that part of it. It's gotten to the point now where, and I've told you this before, I went back in the store here not too long ago to give the lady at the cash register back the quarter she gave me too much of. 25-cent quarter. He knows. Verses 13 through 18. I'll let you slide here a little bit. Just want to see you looking down while I read. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days were ordained for me, were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. We were made by Him. Now, I don't often get up on a soapbox, and I don't often get carried away with too many things political, but I'm going to go backwards here a little bit, and I'm going to point out in that verse, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, you saw my unformed body. Don't tell me that life doesn't start at conception. You were formed for a reason. We have good friends, and they have a son. And they had a hard time getting ready for that son. They tried several times, if my understanding is correct, and it kept backfiring. Until finally, they had a son. And the doctors working with them gave them, and I know I'm going to butcher this pronunciation, amniocentesis. Did I get it right? Gave them, said, you know what, we're going to do the amniocentesis. I don't know much about what it is, except it involves a pretty long needle. And they pulled it out and they told the woman, your son is going to be born with Down syndrome. What do you want to do? She didn't hesitate. She didn't think about it. She said, okay, we'll take it from here, Doc. The kid is 11, Charlton, something like that. He's 11, 12 years old today. We just saw him a couple weeks ago. And he's as healthy and happy as a horse. He's motoring around there. He's into skateboarding and snow skiing and whatever else you can think of. This is a kid with Down syndrome. Ain't a thing wrong with him except he won't get his hair cut. Never mind. He knows what he's doing. And you know what happens when we interfere with it? We mess it up. I made bread yesterday for dinner. I made this stuff called Irish soda bread. It was my job to make the bread for dinner. And so I read the ingredients and I thought, oh, this can't be that simple. It's got to be done better. So I made the first loaf. You wouldn't have liked it. I went back and did the directions each step at a time. And I folded the bread and I put it in and I didn't overknead it. And I did what I was supposed to and it came out perfect. The people that made the recipe had done it, oh, I don't know, 30,000 times. They knew. God knows. He knows that when He looks at you, He knows where you're going 5 minutes after you leave these doors. He knows what you're going to say. He knows what your thoughts. And I'll guarantee you something else, brothers and sisters. The pain and suffering that you're full of right now, He knows it. And He's got the way out of it. David's writing such a powerful psalm right here. Verses 19 through 22. I want you all to read these with me. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who would rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Hey, guess what? David just showed his humanity. He just showed who you are. He just showed who all of us are. He used that nasty word, hate. When I read about Judith Ann Clement in the paper, I made the comment the next morning, I'm a Christian and everything. But I think they should have pulled the guy out of the car that did it and should have fixed him up proper. And then I got in the truck and realized just how ignorantly stupid I sounded. Unbelievably. Who am I? Yeah, she's gone. She's home already. Hate. Guess what? Let's try a few of these on for size. I hate going to the grocery store. Yeah, I said that yesterday. Because I'm a baby. I hate it when I can't get something to work the way I want it to. I hate the way that person down the street mows his grass. I hate the fact that that little so-and-so kid comes through here with that car stereo blasting at the top of its lungs. I hate, I hate, I hate. Jesus said, if you say hate, you committed murder in your heart. He pulls us out. He says it's the same thing as. David shows us our humanity in those few little verses by showing his own in front of God. By saying, I know you know me, and I know what I say, God. When he says, do I not hate those who hate you, Lord? And abhor those who rise up against you? How many times? Westboro Baptist Church. These nutballs that go out there using the First Amendment so that they can talk trash at a person's funeral. So that they can spread hate and vulgar. All the while underneath of the banner of, well, Jesus Christ is our Lord. He knows. He knows. He knows our humanity. How often do I hear it said, oh, you know, I messed up. Yeah, you did. Ask for forgiveness and prepare to go forward. He knows. He will never expect you to ever get to perfect until later. Chris and I were talking this week. Jesus Christ put the mantle on so that no matter what, our confession and that salvation would keep us saved from hell. We know we're humans, right? Let's read the last two verses together. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. David right there is going, please, please. You know me. As you created that cat, as you created them geese, as you created the flowers that are starting to pop up, as you have created everything, you knew me from the beginning. You created me. In reading this today, we need to remember that I'm a failure and he knows it. That I am well short of his glory and he knows it. That pain and sickness and sin and unhappiness and degradation and vulgarity and everything else that you can think of is part of who we are, and he knows it. And he knows that we cannot keep our own selves out of hell. It cannot be done. So what'd he do? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, you ought to learn this one as well. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. He knows. Amen. Why am I talking? Why am I talking about this? Everything that's going on in your life, he knows. In Psalms, it says, David writes in Psalms chapter 3, test me, strengthen me, that you may know me. Whatever's going on right now in your life, in the world, wherever, he knows. He has a reason. You need to conduct yourself in front of him so that he knows you. Whatever's tearing you apart, he knows. Bring it to him. Whatever's going on in your life, he knows. Carry it to him. And the best thing is, whenever you have that soul-bursting joy, share it. We sing, what did we sing? Six praise songs. The churches I used to come from, we don't do that. I didn't know how to take it when I first got here. Guess what? You don't mumble through them words. You know, we bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. You don't sing them things. We bring a sacrifice of praise into the house. You sing them with praise in your heart. You lift yourself up. You sing praises unto him because he knows that he gave you God, gave you Jesus Christ. He knows that what's going on in your life, he'll fix. We sing praises unto His name, loudly, boldly, happily. We fall down on knee in praise unto Him, regardless of what's going on in your life. There's an old hymn, and I'll learn it. I got to put that on the list next. There's an old song from back in the 70s called Hallelujah Square. Does anybody know that one? I'll see all my friends in Hallelujah Square. What a wonderful time we'll all have up there. We'll sing and praise Jesus with glory to spare. I'll see all my friends in Hallelujah Square. We need to learn that one sometime. And the verses, I can't remember the verses, but I know that the man meets a guy hobbling along on a walker, and he meets an old guy that's lame and somebody that's sick and dying, and they look at them and they say, "He knows me and I know him, and one day I'll be healed, not here, but there." That's what I'm looking for. And that's why I want him to know me. Do you? Say amen. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're puppets on a string so many times by this world. We let so many other things control us. Take it away. Those desires for things that we want that we ought not have. Take away our desire to be hateful. Put us in front of you, Father. Someone in this very room is struggling with their salvation. Someone in this very room, Father, is waiting on a sign from you as to whether or not to make that walk up front and accept Christ as their Savior. Someone in this room is struggling, and you know it. Be with them. Put it upon them that there is no second chance if you leave too quickly. You know, you have appointed our time, each and every one of us. Know us as sinners, as failures, as filth, but know us as your recovered through your Son Jesus. And Father, let us remember that we need to lift up and care and praise you always. In all things. Whether we get a little, whether we get a lot, whether we get nothing at all, we have something waiting. Let us work toward that. Let us work that people can say, "There's a light in that person I want to know." Let us work that people that are struggling to come to grips with the fact that they need that salvation of Jesus Christ, let us be either the plow, the seed, the fertilizer, or the harvester, whatever it is. Let us never forget that you know everything. Put it upon our hearts and let us take it from here today, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let's do something just a little bit different, Charlie. Before we do the last hymn, you can come up. Let me try something just a little bit from a different angle. Is any one of you in trouble? James writes in the 5th chapter in the 13th verse. He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Brothers and sisters, there is someone among us who has been holding this back, but she is affected. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to tell Suzanne. that you're struggling with a mass on your stomach. That we don't know what's going on yet, that there are still doctor's tests to be taken. But for everything else, she needs us right now. So come here. And I need the prayer warriors up front to lay on with her. Our closing hymn is number 393, Breathe On Me, Breath of God. Hymn number 393.
Please stand.
Pretty cool, ain't it? And I didn't ask. I will catch you there.
Breathe on me,
the saving grace of Jesus Christ rest and abide with you all now and forevermore. May this love prevail as we leave here today, strengthening us as we walk upon this path. Protect, watch over, keep, and guide us until we are joined together here as a group, allowing us to constantly be in prayer unto you, Father. Now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now and forevermore, I pray blessings upon you all. Amen.